What's up, everybody? How you doing? Welcome back to a yet another episode of Living Life Intently. I'm Lee Frazier.
I'm Jonathan Canary.
Yeah, we're here. We're sitting here at my kitchen table right now. Right? Yeah?
Yeah, buddy!
Yeah, a little more lively this week.
We're, yeah, we had the trash bash. We had a bunch of shit going on yesterday. And,
eating smoky cheds all day.
A lot of dogs, a lot of burgers.
Picking up trash cans, trash cans, beer cans.
Yeah.
Mind you, I did picked up a lot of Keats, a lot of Bud Light, a lot of half pints of Captain Morgan White.
I took a survey of what the most popular beverage was in the Cabot Trail. It's Bud Light by far.
By far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I picked up one. It's crazy. I picked up one craft beer. One.
Yeah. Well, that's good. The craft beer people are environmentalists.
I guess that's the takeaway from it,
you know.
But yeah, so we're sitting down today with one of the organizers of Trash Bash, Peter LeBlanc, good friend of mine, grew up together.
Real Rig.
Yeah. Peter runs a farm here in Marguerite, and he put on the concert, managed the concert last night, which was a blast with Buck Tingley, and you DJ'd, and
yeah, it was great.
So before we jump into this podcast, just going to tell you is about a couple things that are coming up in the next couple months here at Live Life Intense. We are running a paddling festival. It's the first annual. We're going to run it every year called Butts and Boats. It's just about getting butts in boats. All ages paddling festival. It's going to be based in Marguerite, or it is based in Marguerite this year. We're going to be paddling the Northeast Marguerite River on Saturday, June 3rd. The festival starts Friday, June 2nd, and then we're hitting up Middle River on the Sunday, finishing at the Highway Bridge next to Big Spruce. And then Monday, we are going to be running the Upper Marguerite for a quick little trip in the Upper River for those of you that want to stay around for an extra day. Other than that, we have a food truck starting up in June. Dates on that will be released soon. And then our season opener with Bite House and Baloney, Colorado. Big old basher on July 1st, which is a Saturday. Saturday this year.
And we're hoping to have Taylor and Julia on the podcast maybe.
And yeah,
talk about the food truck.
Next week or so to get more information about that. Because Taylor and Julia have been around forever. They've attended a lot of these events. They've been staying at the campground for years. Been a big supporter of what we do. And just fired up for the summer to have them camping in a trailer on site. And slinging poutines.
Nice.
And fish cakes. And well, I just got to look at the menu today. It's going to be great.
Well, you got anything else?
That's it.
Let's jump right in there.
I was on one podcast so far.
You were? Were you on the other one?
The Bake Off.
What's the Bake Off?
I was one of the judges.
Pogey Chips.
Oh!
That's the one that went off the rails.
Yeah.
That was...
was it a special Bake Off?
It turned out to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone spiked the punch.
It was like a weekly challenge to called the Bake Off. We're supposed to bake something, right? So I did a Oreo cheesecake. Jeremy did, it was like a rum cake or something. Something crazy.
Like, someone made like a prom cake or something, wasn't it?
Jeremy, I think. Yeah. Tall guy, I think, made cookies. And Lucy didn't do anything. She just brought a bunch of pre-rolled joints.
I mean, she failed the assignment successfully.
Oh wait, and it went off the rails.
What is it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then we had a like rate. Peter was one of the guest judges, and we had a rate. Was it you and Andrew, Adele?
Yeah,
I think that was the three. Yeah, it went off the rails really quickly.
Failed the assignment correctly.
Yeah. It became a real bake-off, but...
Well, now you're on the Living Life Intently podcast.
This one's a little bit different. It's not as off the rails as that one.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, that one was like the first season when we did two seasons or three seasons or something, and we had like a vest week where everybody had to wear a vest for a week. Like, Lucy had to serve a Cabot with a vest. I was outside in November, like fixing up the building and nothing but a vest. Joel's wearing a leather vest. Tall guy wore a vest. Mm. It was interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But this is not that. This is not that podcast.
I like Lucy. I never really got to sit down and like have a chat with her until yesterday.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Yeah, but we're here day after
Trash Bash.
Trash Bash, yeah. I had something in my throat there, yeah.
Yeah, and we were talking. We were kicking the idea around having Peter on the podcast 2 weeks ago with Angelo.
Yeah, because you know what got brought up? The Paulet's Cove story.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. He brought up that Paulet's Cove story of being out in the raft.
Yeah.
And do you have a picture of that?
Summers? I do have a picture of that. Do you have a picture of that?
I never got a picture
of
that.
No, you never got a picture of that.
You have a picture of it, Summers.
Yeah, we were basically on this raft, and then me, Mac, and Lee. And then what? We saw these boats coming.
Yeah.
And we were like 17, and it was Angelo, and he was like, oh, I got a bunch of like girls from New York City that are like 17 or something. And we're like, what? This is like every kind of just like little teenage boy fantasy, just on a raft in the ocean, and a bunch of girls from New York showed up.
With food.
With food. But they weren't interested in us, but we were interested in their food, so that was good.
Yeah.
Worked out in the end.
We were loincloths.
They all still tell that story to people, probably.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, yeah, Angelo had this picture, and I don't know, I thought about it for years, and then I guess before we kind of became friends and you were doing all this, I messaged him on, must have been email or something, I don't remember, and then he messaged me back, and he's like, yeah, well, I got divorced, and like, my wife... ex-wife has the computer, might have the pictures on it. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
And then like 2 years later, or I don't, some an amount of time later, he just sent me an email with the picture.
Cool.
So yeah, it's a classic.
I love that. That should be an album cover. You guys should start a band. you and Mac and Peter.
I think there is already kind of one. Mac, the Monkey Music Nights.
That's fair.
Jam Nights.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are always fun.
Yeah, so we got Peter LeBron sitting with us today.
Yeah. So for people listening, this year, Peter and Lucy, who you will hear through one of the little excerpts that Canaries put together, talking about Trash Bash, we all came together to try to run this event again in the spring after 2 years of not having it out because of basically did it at the end of the season. So I was pretty much burnt out and had no interest in doing anything at that point. And then we kicked it up this spring. It was kind of a good kickoff to, I guess, the summer. This is the earliest that I think I've ever kicked up my business. And we got the campground open.
Yeah.
Technically a little bit open. Still a lot of work to be done, but I just figured we'd get it open and bring the community together a little bit, and we had great weather for it, man.
And speaking of community, we've got the owner operator of Front Porch Farm sitting right in front of us, the illustrious. Tell us about the farm, Peter. Tell us about yourself.
About myself?
About yourself, about the farm the things you do.
I guess I grew up just across the river from where we're sitting here, pretty much. And yeah, never really thought I'd be doing farming. I don't think growing up on a farm, kind of just living the life. But I guess at some points I realized that it's kind of a cool lifestyle, kind of doing a bit your own thing, kind of outside, just kind of, you know, bit kind of living a bit in the Wild West kind of form of things, a little bit less reliant on the system and the people, I suppose. But I don't know. It didn't really start out like that. Do you want to know the story of why I actually started farming?
Kind of? Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you ever hear this one?
No.
So I was actually working at, I don't know what it was called then. I think it was called Stora originally, the paper mill in Port Hawkesbury. When I was working there, I think it was called Stora.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then as I worked there, it switched to Port Hawkesbury paper. But anyway, it was like, I was actually living in a trailer, like a camper trailer down in, kind of around Judic. It was Mac's mom's place, and I was working at the mill, and I was kind of just like I didn't mind the mill work itself, but it was just kind of the punching in the clock part was kind of depressing, and the part I found the weirdest about working there was that you couldn't leave until it was like 4.
Yeah.
But like nobody was working at like 3. And you know, people were showering and shaving at work, but I was just like, you know, well, why can't we just go home? Nobody's doing anything, but you know, it's so like regimented that you had to like wait till, and everyone be lined up by the doors
waiting to leave.
Waiting, and then like once the one, you know, lead cow or whatever, it sounds bad, but like whoever was kind of like had seniority or whatever was like, okay, it's like 3:56. I'm going to start walking to the gate, and when I get there, it'll be exactly 4, and then I can punch my card.
Yeah.
So then it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
You're the junior guy, so you're like in the back of the lineup waiting to leave. Anyway, strange feelings, but you know about that, Lee, working at your dad's sawmill.
Yeah.
Well, no punch cards. It was a little laid back, but Al could always. It was the breaks were 15 minutes, and that was it. So maybe I had trauma from working there. That's why the
I think everybody has trauma from paper, working at that mill.
I loved working at the mill when we ran it that day. That was the funnest job I ever had.
Yeah, yeah. One day, that's fun.
But anyways.
But yes. Anyway, yeah, so then I saw this. I think I was in Antigonish at the Tall and Small Cafe, and I saw this poster that was like kind of handmade, and it said the New Farmers Gathering something North Mountain. And I was like, I don't know what that's about. So I was kind of checking it out, and then I was, my brother was kind of into farming and that, and I was like, oh, maybe I should take Ben there. Like, he might like that and see what's going on with this farming thing. So I went down there, and then me and Ben drove down, and then when we got there, we realized, like, strangely, like a bunch of our other kind of friends from the Cape Breton, PEI, New Brunswick were there, and it was kind of this gathering of kind of all young people, like in their early kind of mid-20s, who were kind of, I don't know, interested in farming or kind of living off-grid or living kind of back on the land or whatever. And it just kind of turned out to be this really inspiring weekend. There was this kind of couple that were split up that were running the place, and they were working with a draft horse, and they had like, were living in a cob house, and people were like, yeah, it got a bit wild that weekend too. It was like kind of pouring down rain, and Charles took his horse over to like the bootleggers at one point and came back, was like in a trench coat, like not riding his horse, but like in a cart, standing up, pouring rain and like throwing bottles into the crowd. And I was just like, wow, I didn't know this farming subculture existed in Nova Scotia. Like, it was mostly just like me and my brothers hanging out with my dad and my uncles, like, you know, yep, doing whatever had to be done. And then we went down to this like kind of raging kind of hippie farm party thing.
Is that Farm Fest?
Yeah, I think people called it that, but it was called the New Farmers Gathering.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the technical name. And then met a few people there, and then Lindsay and Jen, I think. Yeah, they came up here, and I guess when I got back, I started chatting with my dad, and I was kind of thinking about quitting at the mill around that time. And then after I went there, I was kind of like, yeah, I just, not, still not that I thought I was like going to be farming my whole life full time or something, but I was just like, I can't work this mill 9-to-5 job anymore. Like, I just want to, you know,
yeah,
do whatever, work yeah with the seasons, do different things. I don't know.
Yeah,
go west a bit, work here, do different stuff. Couldn't just do the 50 weeks a year thing. So yeah, I kind of got inspired by that, and then I think me and my dad and my brother plowed up about a half an acre of land with our horses, dad's horses, I guess, and then that group of some of that group from the farm fest came down, and we kind of planted a garden, and then that was it. We just kind of had a garden growing. It was down in this place called Finucs Island, super fertile kind of place down by the river. And everything was kind of going good. Then it was like August or something. My friend Natalie came down from Shetty Camp one day with her friend Jimmy Inch, was visiting from Montreal. And she said, oh, they got this farmer's market on Shetty Camp down on the street. You should, we should get some stuff from your garden and sell it there tomorrow. And I was like, oh, I don't know, like what we can really get, but we can go check it out. But anyway, we went down there to the garden, and I don't know what we had. I remember having cucumbers, beans, carrots. It was actually surprising when we went down there and harvested. We actually had quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like that we actually weren't just getting enough for dinner or to like share. We were like, oh, there's quite a bit down here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went to Shetty Camp the next day and sold whatever. I don't remember. I had a Toyota Corolla, I think, and filled that up a little bit. And we sold some veg on the side of the road right across from the Royal Bank where the what's that museum called? The Fisher. Well, it's no longer
the Fisher.
Yeah,
it
used to be the Fisher. Yeah,
right by Marguerite.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, that kind of like a bit snowballed that. And then I saw a poster for this other thing called, What was that called? It was like a rural economic, like, sustainability conference or something in, like, Port Hawkesbury.
Okay.
It was, like, very sort of corporate kind of sounding and like, curated.
Yeah.
But they had this really cool guy there who was talking about, like, peak oil and, like, kind of what the other side of that might look like and, like, kind of trying the thought of, like, developing, like, sustainable communities and, you know, kind of, like, and I was kind of like, it was kind of interesting because the whole thing was really, really kind of corporate, but they had this guy there who was kind of like a bit, you know, was not exactly towing the line of like the normal kind of corporate stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess that kind of inspired me too. And I met a guy there called Jim Rutan who was running a CSA program, which that stands for Community Supported Agriculture. Where I guess a lot of people know that. But anyway, people like buy a kind of membership or a subscription to your farm and then they get like a weekly or biweekly sort of whatever you're growing. So he was doing that in the sort of Margree, Shetty Camp, Inverness area. And he had like probably had a list of about 50 people and he was moving back to Ontario. So he was kind of like inspired that I was kind of interested in growing. So he kind of mentored me a little bit in the beginning and we looked at like planting schedules and dates. And then I think my dad and I plowed up another acre that year. And then the next year, I think it was 2009, kind of went into farming. And then, from there, it kind of just spiraled.
Snowballed.
It was a real snowball thing. I mean, I feel like most of my life, I'm not very good at planning or making big ideas or like, when I was a kid, you know, when people ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm like,
I don't know.
Like, see what happens when I get there, I guess. Like, I don't know. You know, so it was like not a big plan, but it just kind of spiraled into this. And so
it's funny you talk about like your introduction to this was like this like hippie kind of cool, really, you know, unique kind of introduction.
Yeah, like then, people were eating wheatgrass, I remember. You guys ever eat that?
Yeah.
That's still a thing? It was back then a little bit.
I don't know.
People had yurts, I remember. I was like,
people definitely juice it now a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you talk about that, and then like, you have woofers?
A little bit less sometimes these days, but...
Yeah, and I always find them to be like really peculiar, really interesting, like hippie types. And I don't know, like when I first started hanging around here a few years ago, they're like, man, who are all these weird people? And they're like, oh yeah, they work at Peter's. We're like, oh, okay. They're kind of cool. Like,
yeah, it's been interesting though. I mean, you definitely started kind of the trend of everybody moving back the way I see it when you had the, it's a spot where over across.
Oh, the Mary Louise Glance.
What was it called? The commune?
People call it the Woofer Commune.
The commune. Yeah, it was basically a spot that down across the river here.
I was renting that place for $300 a month, all things included.
Crazy.
and I didn't have to rent it for the winter, so I could just move out like no strings attached.
It was like a spot where at the time where everybody was still in school and traveling or doing whatever, and then you could come back. And pretty much at any time in the evening, you just go over there and there was somebody doing something, playing cards. And that was kind of the start of everybody kind of coming back around. That's the way I kind of, in my eyes. That's
sure,
kind of,
I like that.
Well, it was like...
Trendsetter.
Yeah. You were here. And
well, it was like a place for people to hang out and do stuff. And
that was I think I was still in Halifax, and that was before I bought this place.
Yeah.
And I think I bought this place right after you bought your house on Cody Road.
Yeah.
And because you looked at this place.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people did. Yeah. And then, it was kind of like the start of people starting to make, you know, make tracks of trying to kind of come around here. Cause at that time there wasn't much going on. I mean, it was just like any other small town where people would come home for the summer.
Yeah.
And then, slowly everybody started kind of migrating here and doing their own thing. And I'd say that you were pretty much a big inspiration for that. I mean, you can take credit for that again.
Oh, I don't know.
But that's
But again, it just kind of happened. It wasn't like plan or something. But.
And so like the evolution I think is cool too. Like, you know, we met a couple of years ago. I showed up at your place for a yard sale sign that you left out for 2 days past the yard sale.
Yeah, I was in the, I was like in the packing shed, I don't know, organizing something, and I had a yard sale. Was it spring or fall? It was one or the other.
I don't know. You had a yard sale on a Saturday, and this was like Monday.
Or Tuesday.
The sign was still out.
And this car pulled in the yard and didn't recognize. And it was very confidently driven. Like, you know when someone shows up at your house, but they're kind of confused?
Yeah, well, that's how he drives all the time.
No, but he wasn't confused. He was very confident.
It
was
but just, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Just like pulled in. I was like, who's this guy? And I was kind of like, you know, probably not interested in entertaining whatever was happening. I'm not sure. And he just kind of walked right in there and started looking around. And I was like, why is he looking at my stuff? Like, because he just was checking it out because he thought I was having the yard sale. So he kind of thought everything was, I guess, for sale. But
you were like, no, I got a bin of vinyl records here, though.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's have a look. But yeah, and like, you know, since then we've gone to like a few shows at your place and the concerts are really cool.
Yeah.
Like sitting right in the front of the barn there and then there's like goats running around and the frogs are chirping and
yeah.
Pretty cool. Like, you know, I feel like you've, you know, everybody has like those like pillars of a community or like those cornerstones of a community, people that identify the community. You can identify the community by those people. Mm. And coming from the other side of the island, I would think that of you. Mm. You know, I see you and I see Lee and I see other people around here that kind of really identify this place, you know.
It's been interesting, I'd say, since moving back. Just seeing the difference of people coming around here. And it's basically kind of like, it doesn't take one person, but it takes multiple people to kind of start bringing life back here and doing different things. And then that influence more and more people to do things. And just by doing those little, like, springtime concerts up at your place, that kind of started a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and then doing stuff here. It's just having more things here for people to do. And like last night, I mean, there was a lot of people from we used to leave here and go elsewhere for places. And last night there was a lot of people from like Mabu and Judik, maybe not Judik, but Mabu, Brook Village, Inverness that were down
Sydney
here.
Sydney even.
All kinds of people from Sydney here.
Yeah. I didn't even recognize like a quarter of the people there last night, which is like to me a good sign for a show when you're like, I don't even know these people, how they got here, where they came from, but that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a big dance floor though. It's good.
Yeah,
really
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was boogieing for a while.
Well, I remember would that have been the first Trash Bash or would that have just been the last Trash Bash?
It was the only.
The first one.
Yeah, first one was the only one.
And what was the festival called that you put on?
That was kind of like aligned with Jamboree.
The Fall Jamboree or something?
Well, maybe.
Harvest Jamboree.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
And like, so you brought in,
that was Coconut Kings were here that night.
Yeah.
And Zachary Miller.
Zach Miller.
Matthew Frazier.
Yep.
Mari Britton.
Yep.
And Jason and Chrissy.
That's right. And, I had never heard Zach Miller or the Coconut Kings before. And they're so fantastic.
Oh yeah. They're like the most fun.
Yeah. Like that was, I would say like the most fun I had in a long time at that point.
Yeah.
Was that night.
Yeah.
And just everybody dancing around and running around having a good time and the kids having a good time. And like, you know, we had a really good day, like picking up trash that day. Like I hung out with people that I'd never met before that were all super cool. And we shared this little thing together. Yeah. And it was really cool, you know, like, it was a really, really unique experience to have, coming to a place where you don't know very many people and then just having everybody be so communal and kind and having such a good time together, you know, with this like really great taste in music curated for the event.
Mm.
And so, talking about that is like, I personally find your taste in music as a promoter, to be very, like really, really good. Like, the shows I have gone to, I've been shown acts that I would not normally have seen or known about.
Mm.
And coming from somebody who does, you know, 200 shows a year as an audio engineer, it's like unheard of you know, to like see like new, like it's just amazing to see like new acts that you're like, that blow your head off, you know?
Well, it's kind of strange how, and I've tried a little bit and also feel like could be doing better, is there's a weird disconnect between Sydney. Like I sort of have a connection with the Halifax kind of music scene. And then it seems like it never gets over to Sydney from here, or it seems like Sydney's stuff's happening in Sydney and it doesn't make it over here in a weird way. So, I mean, I think culturally it always felt a bit different anyway, but
yeah,
I have to say since Lee started this place, I feel more connected with the other, with that other side of, with the other side of the island over in that Sydney area, because you seem to draw in a bit of a crowd from over there. And then obviously Canary's kind of famous in his world. So he brings over his own little
crew
of
misfits and bandits.
Yeah. Groupies, I'm not sure. Are they your groupies?
I don't know.
It's like we all have our own little groupies, face it, in the world, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, even the music last night, like I had not heard of Buck Tingley before. Mm. And he like blew the doors off of the fire hall.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I reached out to Garrett about lists, because I was reaching out to him about some shows this summer if he was around, but he's on tour trying to make it. Things just didn't line up. But I said, can you give me a list of people? And Bloodshot Bill was on the list. Buck Tingley was on the list. And maybe Baloney Colorado were on the list too. I can't remember.
Okay.
Because it was right after you sent me the clip, and then he sent me an email with a list of people. And then there was somebody from New Brunswick, and I can't remember his name. But I just said similar artists, blues, rock, that sort of stuff, people you'd recommend, and all those people are on the list. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
This is post Peter sent me all the stuff too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And so do you have any other events coming up that you booked?
I do got a few events coming up. May is actually kind of busy. Which is good, I think. But I think there's a kind of Cajun French band coming around. That's like the 19th, 20th, 21st, I think it is. They're doing a
Lobster Boil weekend.
Oh, is it that weekend? Yeah. Shit.
Never a lot of people here.
Yeah, well, actually, there's no. Well, we weren't planning on doing a Marguerite gig.
so that's and like the whole Cody clan and extended cousins and
cancel
friends.
All other plans. Maybe we'll just have the Marguerite. Yeah, like, we were gonna do Big Spruce is booked in for Saturday. I think it's the 20th or something.
Yeah.
And then at Freya and Thor and Shetty Camp on the 21st.
Cool.
And then we were looking around Port Oxbury for the Friday.
Yeah, the Saturday the boils on Saturday. Like literally, like I got 4 or 5 RVs coming here. Cameron House is booked, like Bridget's family. It's all flying in from UAE, from out west. Like probably be 100, 200 people here.
Cool.
Family, except my personal family. Like
that's cool.
Cousins and uncles and friends.
Maybe you'll get some overflow.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know.
And what else?
Oh, then what do we got? 24th of May, we got a show up at the farm with Sarah Osborne. She's traveling through from Victoria. And I don't know if you guys know Dylan from Big Turnip Records in Dartmouth, but he contacted me and put me in touch with her. So she's coming through, and Brian Picard from Bite Host is going to be there doing a cook up. So that's on a Wednesday, I think it is.
Nice.
That's cool. And then Saturday, the 27th, we're in Brook Village with Daniel James McFadgen's bringing his band up.
Unreal.
And Lookout Tower's opening on that one. So that should be a fun one. We had a show down there, I think it was last summer, with those guys, and it was pretty good. Have you ever been in that hall?
Brook Village?
Yeah.
No.
That's a good hall.
Is it?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a fun one.
And are you doing like the season opener thing at the farm where you sell all the...
Seedling sales, sure. Yeah, I think we're going to do the first one. I don't know when this podcast comes out. Probably not by Saturday, but I think we're going to do our first one on Saturday. And after that, probably about every second week or whatever. So
cool.
It seems a bit later this year, maybe.
I don't know.
I'm a little bit less organized.
So.
No,
I don't think so.
Just always feels that way.
No, because I think you had that sale. It was when... I believe I had people in, like Kale and Atlanta came to work, so they were here at the end of May. I think it was like the end of May last year.
Yeah, it would have had to been because we slept outside.
Like when we had the Coconut Kings show, that one specifically?
The one...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was in June.
Was it the Coconut Kings at your farm?
Yeah, last spring.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But Anyway, yeah, so that's coming up, and then I don't know what else we got. Yeah, there's like a sale every second week, and then
cool.
June, we got a show at the farm. Benj Rowland's coming down. Okay. He sounds really cool. And then we got, what, Canada here with Bite House. And,
yeah, that's going to be a good one. That's yeah, going to be fun.
That's going to be a dance party, I think, with yeah, Blues Band.
I've been following those guys. I've been looking at a lot of their videos and stuff. They're a young crowd, eh?
Yeah, young crew. And they seem to have a different, like, they're barefoot and...
Yeah, barefoot, but he's got face tattoos, just like jumping on stage all the time. I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're playing for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Sick. Yeah. So it's going to be a good little party.
Cool.
Yeah. That one I didn't really, we put up for sale like a couple of weeks ago when I was just basically like getting every event out for the summer, one after another, after another. So we'll start pushing that. Again, this week, now the Trash Bash is over and the weather's turning. This week's all like double digits. It's great.
So speaking of Trash Bash, yesterday was awesome.
Yeah. We had about 60 people register online. Now, a lot of those people, I don't think everybody showed up that registered, but we had a good little crew. And then there was a group at the Gypsum. So the Gypsum Mine Society or group or whoever, the non-for-profit, the manages mm-hmm. Gypsum Mine. They did a cleanup there. We had Serena from Camp Cook's Cache. Doing one in Inverness with Miss Brenna. They did from the beach down to the corner store. And then a crew up in Brook Village. And then we had people around Marguerite. So we have a map that's out in the shipping container with all the highlighted areas. And we pretty much did the whole Cabot Trail from basically the goat, for the most part, the dancing goat, all the way to the harbor and then up to Whale Cove. Mm. And then the beach, Marguerite Harbor Beach. People did the waterways, I think, in by like dinghy or skiff or something or whatever in the river, mm-hmm. up and down the banks of the river. It was really good turnout.
Awesome.
Then the concert was pretty good last night, too.
I thought, yeah, seemed like good turnout. I was kind of didn't know what was going on, but we had a good crowd.
Well, there was like waves of people, right?
Yeah.
So I got there around like, I'd say 7 maybe. And it was like a different waves of people coming in at different times.
Yeah.
And then, Adele's food was great.
Yeah.
Did you have the wrap?
Yeah. Oh, that man. Was great.
Really, oh, buddy.
Awesome. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, that wrap changed my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hungry. Even though we had a couple burgers, a couple dogs, like, by the time I got over there and she had that ready, it was unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Sam Moons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I seen your, what was that? Your nickname or something Sam Moon.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, it's like like Texas Derby horse name is a symptom of your mental illness plus the last thing you ate, and mine was Manic Sam Moon.
Well, it's such a great horse name. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, like if that horse is gonna win a race. Manic Sam Moon.
Yeah, just the horse is running down the derby with a moo moo on.
Yeah. That was like there's this guy, he had a horse for sale actually, and this guy went to check it out and the horse was just like just running through the paddock and just like crashing into the fence on the other side and then like turning around and come back crashing into the fence. And the guy was like, I don't want that horse. He's blind. And he's like, no, he's not blind. He just doesn't give a shit.
That's fair. Yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah. That'd be like your horse just going for it. Manic Sam Moon.
Yeah, that's fair. So before we jump into the soundscape of yesterday, Peter, is there anything you want to tell the listeners, or is there any way we can contact you for some seedlings or some shows, or how can we find you?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. Yeah, Instagram. I just got Facebook actually about two days ago. You guys,
did you? The world is a changing.
Yeah, I had to get on Marketplace. Actually, I got these pants on Marketplace. This guy in East Marguerite has like, I don't know, a large quantity of 34, 32 Dakota work pants for sale.
He robbed a truck for sure.
Yeah. He told me that in his old job, he had to have clean pants and worked on his knees a lot. Didn't tell me what he did.
That sounds
interesting.
Questionable.
Yeah, I don't know. So he has all these, if anyone out there is a 34, 32, they're $30. Tags are still on them. Nice. Double knees. like nice. Reinforced knees. So.
But
yeah, so
Instagram,
Front Porch CB.
Yep.
And
all your event listings are there too.
Yeah, pretty much on there. Email cool. list is good. Are people still doing email?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like emailing people, but I'm not very good at getting them on my list, but
that's you know, cool.
Got to get better at that.
Maybe the pod will help you out with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thanks. Thanks for sitting down with us and thanks for all your work yesterday.
Awesome.
Got lots of garbage stacked on the roadside here. All kinds of it. All kinds of garbage up on the roadside, so I say we're going to run into somebody here soon.
Keep it open to throw stuff in.
Tell us what's your name?
My name is Maria.
Find anything cool?
Anything cool? No, I have to say nothing really cool. By far, the most plentiful thing was beverage containers, a whole array from soft drinks to rum to wine bottles, you name it.
What would you think is the most popular soft drink on the Cabot Trail?
Most popular
Bud Light.
Bud Light. Bud Light.
I would think
so. A lot of Bud Light. A lot of Tim Hortons too.
Yeah. And you said a car crash.
We found lots of pieces of a car, the fender and the bumper and all kinds of bits and pieces of stuff, and it was on the shoulder of the road and it was down in the ditch. And so we managed to haul all that up. But my point was that last year we did exactly the same location, and we did it so thoroughly a year ago, and so we were quite shocked that it was so littered again this year. It was really very discouraging.
It's very disheartening when you see how much people disregard the environment.
Yes, in many ways, but I say if people can actually roll down their window and throw out their Tim Hortons cup or their empty rum bottle or their food dispensers, if they can throw that out, we are a long way from a community of people that have any enlightenment around our environment.
Thank you, Maria, for coming out and picking up some trash today.
My pleasure. You have a good day.
So, Cody, you find anything cool so far today?
Well, actually, my first piece of trash that I picked up, there was a $10 bill under it.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So I started off good. Then about an hour later, we came across someone's cache of a sexual nature.
Are we talking toys or are we talking magazines here?
No, we're talking prophylactics.
Ooh.
And used. Yeah. So we just stepped away from that one.
Do you have fancy yourself an environmentalist or?
Yes, I do. Well, I was born into it. My father's an old hippie, and we were taught from a very young age about our environment around us and how we impact it.
Great. Well, listen, Cody, thanks for coming out and picking up some trash today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey. What a pretty shelf.
Look cool. at that. Look at that.
That's.
Is this recording? Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Did you find anything cool, Allie? Tell us.
I found a bumper.
For what?
You see, a car.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And a lot of beer cans, some tampon applicators.
Whatever.
Good thing I had gloves on.
Good thing it's the applicator.
I mean, you put the applicator where the tampon goes.
That's right. Did you get a good haul?
I got a good haul, yeah. I'm trying to think what other the cool... I found like a glasses sheath.
Yeah.
That I thought I was going to keep, but then it fell apart.
You fancy yourself a bit of an environmentalist.
Sure thing. Look at the safety vest. Only environmentalists wear these.
You look super safe right now.
Yeah.
Do you have any message for our listeners, you know, about getting out and cleaning up their community?
Do it. There's a lot of trash out there, and it's really gross.
So get out and clean up your community.
Get out and clean up your community. Humans are garbage.
Thank you. Hello. Did you find anything good, Mr. Andrew?
No, nothing good. Nothing good, all bad, but, you know, we did our part, and we picked up some interesting trash.
Well, tell me what was interesting. What did you find?
Well, there was a couple of partial a tire that blew apart, and they didn't bother to pick it up.
Yep.
I guess they hustled to the garage. I don't know.
Anything dangerous?
No, I don't think so. Actually, maybe interesting was the wrong word.
Do you you fancy yourself a bit of an environmentalist?
Not overly, but, you know, when people like Lee and Lucy organized something like this, it drew me out, and I'm glad I came. And, you know, I think if we all do a little bit, it'll make a big difference, and maybe there'll be some awareness out there, and maybe these trash bashes in the future, hopefully they won't generate quite as much garbage, just the feeling of community and coming together, which would be nice to have without the trash.
Thanks, Andrew.
Right on.
So the big boss man picking up trash.
Trash bash, baby, trash bash.
There's a lot of trash over there that came in, eh?
Yeah, I think we beat our previous year, and we didn't go pick it all up yet. So there's a whole pile in Shetty Camp in Inverness down at the harbor that I'm going to pick up. And then, this stuff over there. And I think some more is trickling in at some point.
There's a whole raft of it on this stretch of highway here. I took a drive up to the harbor there before, see if there's anybody down.
Yeah, I'm going to pick that up in a second with the truck and trailer.
There is, so I'd say so far this is a success. The day isn't over, but.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, there was like, I think 60 people registered last night. More came in this morning, and that was not including Brook Village, Inverness Beach, Shetty Camp, and Shore Road, yeah.
So there's all different communities, other groups kind of jumping on board and kind of doing the thing in their own community.
Yeah, we just opened it up so anybody else wanted to lead a cleanup in their community, then we would supply them with all the supplies sponsored by the Inverness County group. Do I call it group? I don't know if I call it group. In Inverness County, I'll just say Inverness County.
Okay.
Sponsored by Inverness County, and... yeah, it was great. So we loved seeing this. And there's been, I think CBRM had a similar type cleanup because they were promoting ours and they were doing a big one on CBRM. And yeah, it's great.
When I was driving up the highway, driving in here from the GOAT, I seen you in the ditch there firing shit up. Did you find anything interesting?
Found like little half pints of white rum, about 15 of them, all in the same stretch road, same side, same area.
So somebody's out of the rum here.
Yeah, somebody picks up the co-op, downs it before they get a kilometer down the road and chucks it at the car.
They're hiding it from the wife for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for putting this on, Lee, and we'll touch base with you a little further on in the day.
Roger that.
Yeah. Did you folks happen to find anything interesting?
We found lots of bottles.
Yeah.
And what was the favorite one?
American branding, Bud Light.
Bud Light.
Clear winner.
Bud Light seems to be the most popular beverage around here.
Totally. No big spruce cans. Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good.
Hey, how's it going? Good to see you.
Up. Did you find anything interesting?
The most interesting thing I found was maybe part of a compost bin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the intention was good, but...
You got some car parts there.
There's some car parts. Didn't find my bumper that I lost a while ago, but you can't win them all.
I think Allie found that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Do you fancy yourself a bit of an environmentalist?
I would say so, yeah. That's kind of why I'm out here in the first place. So, you know what? Actually, we have somebody visiting us from Belgium right now, and she made a really good point. It took us about an hour to collect 10 bags of garbage between the four of us. And we were just kind of saying, if everybody maybe twice a year took an hour to go pick up a few bags of garbage, like, they could really, like, almost eliminate the garbage problems in so many communities, like, just to make that volunteer effort and, you know, go spend an hour and pick up some garbage, you know, maybe a couple times a year and see the difference it makes.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
What do you think, Joel?
It's a lot of trash.
That's what all the ladies tell me. How much trash we got here?
Full load.
Full load. What's a full load run? 2004 Impala size?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, I dare say. Really Thanks good. For picking this up, Robert.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
So, Lucy, tell me about your role involved here today with the Trash Bash.
Yeah, sure. So I was doing a little bit more on the behind-the-scenes organization of everything. So I was working with Lee and with Peter to coordinate with the different groups in Inverness, Shetty Camp, here in Margaree, the satellite pickup in Brook Village as well. And then running the barbecue after for all the volunteers.
And so how much trash do we get? We got a lot of trash.
Got a lot of trash. I don't know what size was that trailer, like 18 feet by 10 or so, and it was pretty full.
That's a lot of garbage. People picked up a lot of garbage today. How do you think everybody did?
I think everybody did a great job. We had over 60 people register. A lot of people were just letting us know that they were picking up from close by their house, so they didn't necessarily come out to the barbecue, but people told us that they were taking it as an opportunity to go clean up around their house, down their street, on their own as well. So I think that's great that even just having this conversation stirred people to action that they've probably been wanting to do for a while anyway.
So I have, so we were talking before we hit record here, and, you know, tell me what your thoughts are on environmentalism and picking up trash, because I think you make a really good point.
Well, full disclosure, I actually did my undergrad in environmental sustainability at Dalhousie University, so this issue is close to my heart. And when you said that you wanted to give me an interview, I was sitting here being like, I don't know how I'm supposed to be positive about this. I'm happy that everybody came out for the community today and were supportive of one another. But I think my main issue is that with a garbage pickup, you're looking at something that just shouldn't be happening anyway. It's kind of like looking at the bottom rung of environmentalism. Litter just, in theory, shouldn't be a thing. We all know in this day and age to just pack in, pack out. If you're in your car, take it home with you. Have a garbage can in your car, whatever it is. There's no reason to be throwing it out the window. That's all pretty basic. And I think it's discouraging for me that if we can't even meet that need, then how are we supposed to look at the larger issues at hand, such as, you know, what corporations are dumping into waterways or just transportation, pollution, whatever it may be. Litter's pretty basic, and we're obviously not meeting that need given what we had to pick up today as volunteers.
Well, I think that's an excellent message for everybody out there, and I think I can speak on behalf of everybody that we're really happy that you were a part of this and that you helped to organize this.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think if nothing else, it gets people talking about it. And we already saw one of the other groups in Shetty Camp. They post on the community bulletin, which is quite active here in Cape Breton. And tons of people were liking it and getting engaged in the content. So if nothing else, it's starting that conversation, getting people to rethink, you know, our impact on the natural world.
Thanks for sitting down with us.
My pleasure. Thanks to everyone who came out today.
Ta-da!
Woo! Hey.
Thanks very much to Peter and Lee and Lucy for organizing the trash bash and to everybody who came out to pick up some trash yesterday. I think we'll leave you with a little clip from the concert last night of Buck Tingley.